And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Dennis Fithian, and we got Matt Misler on the ones and twos. He's also taking your phone call, 734-998-1050. Question of the day, you know, what do you think about Mike Hart coming back to Ann Arbor? I mean, yeah, that's the question. What do you think about Mike Hart coming back to Michigan? And how will it affect the Michigan football team? Positive, negatively, what do you think? I mean, as I said, Mike Hart is coming back. We announced that here yesterday. And now, what do you think about that? That's a big move. To me, that's a big move. We have quite a few backs, good running backs. I don't see a bad one in the batch. And Mike is going to have to decipher, go through, pick out, check it, and see what we got. I'm thinking he's going to have a top two, top three, and go from there. 734-998-1050. Let's go to Gary in Ann Arbor. What's up, Gary?
Good afternoon, guys. A long time no talk to, but I'm always listening, even if I don't call in.
It's great to hear from you, Gary.
Good to hear from you, Gary.
Thank you. Let me answer your question directly, as I always do. My answer is I agree with both you guys. It's an A-plus hire, almost overdue. And let me just say this. Mike Hart didn't have to come back here. He had it pretty good at Indiana. Co-offensive coordinator, winning program, elevated him. But Mike is a Michigan man, and this is a destination job for Mike. I don't think he's going to be leaving or packing up in a couple years. There's always unforeseen circumstances. Mike brings his enthusiasm to the sideline, and as you guys know, that was badly missing this year. I think Mike's players are going to be focused and engaged during the game, and he's going to tell his players, if you see anybody on the bench who's not paying attention to the game, get in their face and tell them to get with it. So I think it's going to spread on both sides of the football on Michigan, and that's a big plus. I was listening to Sam Webb this morning. He said Mike Hart's a great recruiter. And I'll tell you one thing. If Michigan only wins one football game in 2021, heaven help us, it will be against Michigan State. It will be against Michigan State. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, the one part, Michigan State being overly confident in the way that not just the football players, it seems like the football coaches, certainly the fans, treat Michigan State as secondary citizens and the way they're overconfident. A lot of that has to do with him. Now, he earned that, being able to say it, but State used it against him. Moving forward here, Michigan State, you know, this is a serious situation when it comes down to Michigan. I mean, they walked in there overconfident and got their, teeth knocked out this year on Halloween. So it's been an issue that Michigan, and I thought that they had turned the corner. You know, they were able to, Harbaugh was able to take D'Antonio and put him to sleep and put him out the pasture. And I thought maybe that they had moved past that. But then, of course, Halloween happened this year, and they haven't. And so, that it's like you can have some fun, like, oh, yeah, they'll be ready to go against Michigan State. Well, when Mike Hart was here, Michigan beat Michigan State routinely. Right now, Michigan State came in and snatched that victory away from an overconfident Michigan, and it's something that Harbaugh needs to deal with.
Well, let me just say this. I think Mike Hart can put the chip on the shoulder back on Michigan to avenge the 2020 loss. It'll be like, don't you ever forget what Michigan State did as an underdog to us. Now we have to reclaim that, but we have to be the underdog. You have to respect them, and you're going to have to prove. I mean, I'm a former student athlete, and I know what it's like to have the chip on your shoulder and be cocky one day or 1 week from one good race, and then you fall on your face the next race, and then you know that you've got a lot more work to do. And the good athletes, no matter what sport they're in, suck it up, and they put that chip on their shoulder, and they get back to work.
Yeah, hey, Gary, even Bo fell to it his first year, you know, State beat him, and then he was like, uh-oh, He circled that game, said that's not happening anymore. We're going to make sure we take care of that. We're going to take care of business. And, you know, he dominated them for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Michigan, Mike Hart, all I got to say, Mike Hart, if you're listening, welcome home, bud. Go Blue.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that phone call. That made, see, that put a smile on my face. It's been tough. 734-988-1050. Let's go to Woody. Hey, Woody, what's going on?
Hey, man, I couldn't be happier. I've been saying all along that none of the runners has been getting any better while he's had his tenure at Michigan in the last several years. They may come in with some laurels, but you don't see anyone really sparkle. So there's knowledge in teaching people how to run, obviously, and Mike Hart has got it. I can remember when Mike Hart was being recruited, and I had friends up in the greater Syracuse area, and they said, well, take a look at this guy. So I looked at the films, because he looked like he was about 5'7", right? Like you, you know, and like me. But I couldn't run like you guys. But anyway, he was a great runner. Great. He just kept on going. You know, he had heart. And so, and in fact, when he came here, once I was driving back there, I had car trouble in the greater Syracuse area, and I had to pull off, and I went to a garage, and I said, you know, I'm from Ann Arbor, where Mike Hart, he had graduated by then. He was out of school. They said, you did? You ever see him? I said, yeah, I used to see him at the, you know, smoking cigars. Well, they stayed open late to change my tires and stuff because they loved him in that area. They loved him. And he's, you know, he's dynamic. He's charismatic. He's mighty intelligent, thoughtful, humane fellow, in addition to being a great athlete. And he's going to do wonders. He's going to be a head coach somewhere, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I always thought that too, Woody. You know, like for the first time, I remember there were little shades of Barry Sanders when I saw him. I thought, wow, man, like the similar size, got some of those moves. Of course, there's only one Barry Sanders, but you know, Mike was able to carve out his own niche and, you know, did pretty well being the all-time leading rusher. But you know, he brought it all the time, and he played with an edge. And his personality, you know, knowing him on the field and just listening to him talk there, and then now what he's done afterwards, I agree with you. He's got the look, and he's got the kind of markings of being a head coach one day. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, okie doke. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. And it's, you know, I think it goes back to Harbaugh. You can be with Jim here, whatever, you know, it's been – I'm ready to tell everybody, real bad year, you know, for him. And, you know, a lot of times I've been looking at him sideways, wondering, like, what's his deal? But with this particular hire here, hiring somebody that's got a big personality that can rival you in popularity, even as a running back coach, not a small move for Jim. And I applaud him for that.
No, it's a huge move for Jim. He's doing something a lot of coaches that have, you know, that have egos that have that insecurity say, no, I'm not doing that. But he did a move that works for him. Hopefully it does bring positive energy back to Michigan. 734-988-1050. Let's go to 5 o'clock, Jen, Mike. It ain't 5 o'clock yet, Mike.
Starting early.
Are you guys into nursery rhymes and fairy tales?
Well, go ahead, Mike. Let me hear one.
All right, you remember that old man that slept under the tree that he didn't want nobody to wake him up for 1,057 years? What was that guy's name?
Rip.
Rumpelstiltskin?
Oh.
Yeah, that's his name, Rumpelstiltskin.
Is that his name?
I thought it was Rip Van Winkle, but I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, I think you got it. Rip Van Winkle. He doesn't want to be
I thought he got drunk, though.
And that's what I'm thinking about the University of Michigan football. Don't wake me up until they make it to the Big Ten championship game, all right?
So this doesn't please you, Mike? This coaching change?
When an apple falls on my head, then I'll tell you how gravity works, right?
Okay.
Hey, J-Mo, is Hunter Dickinson a black guy or a white guy?
He's a white guy.
He's a white guy.
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's my trivia question for you guys. Name me the top 10 white basketball players of all time.
Is that for Michigan or is that for in college basketball or pro basketball?
That is all time, college, NBA, and everything. The top 10 white basketball players of all time. And I'll keep you guys busy. I'll see ya.
Keep us that busy. We can rip them off. We know that Bird's number one, right?
That's what I was going to say. Larry Bird.
Yeah, I mean, there's number one. The logo that the NBA uses is white guy Jerry West.
Jerry West, right.
From French Lick or something like that. What was his nickname? Something like that. Jamie's guy from Gonzaga would have to be up there, even though he's not in front of Isaiah Thomas.
Stockton. Exactly.
Yeah. About you guys talk about Franz.
How about Doug Collins?
Hello, Doug Collins. I was thinking Big Dirk down there in Dallas.
I like Dirk.
The head coach of the Brooklyn Nets who just got the beard, Steve Nash.
You can't forget
Bill Walton.
You can't forget Bill Walton.
Yeah.
You can't forget who's the one guy that? Good God, Sugar. He shoots three. Oh well, I was gonna say Steve Kerr too.
Mullen.
He's one of them. Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin shoots threes all the time. He was the man. He was on the dream team.
Yeah.
734-988-1050. Let's go to Philly E. Philly E. What you got? A great basketball player, white guy, for Mike?
Yes. Well, first of all, I will preface this by saying that Lou Alcindor is the greatest name in college basketball history. However, and then Walton comes right after him. But I'd have to say in the last 35 years, going back to like the mid-70s, I will have to say that Christian Laettner, and Sam Webb would agree with this, is probably has the greatest resume of anybody in the last, I don't know.
But that's college basketball. That's college basketball.
A white?
Yeah.
For a pro? Oh, it's the prick from French Lick. That's hands down. That's not even an argument.
Okay.
Larry Joe
okay,
Bird, dude. That's not even an argument.
Wait a minute. Everybody's forgetting Mr. Basketball himself, Bob Cousy. Don't say who.
Yeah.
Don't you guys say that.
Not Larry Bird. Hey, guess what? Larry Bird is one of the most unathletic players you ever saw, but his highlight reel puts
everybody
to shame. It puts everybody to shame. Because he's like Wayne Gretzky. He sees everything before it even happens. And I'm a Philly fan. Hey, I'm a Sixers fan. I couldn't stand the guy. I couldn't stand him. But looking back on it now, are you kidding me? His highlight reel is off the chain.
He wasn't that unathletic.
That's what I said. Larry Bird was athletic. He did some things that were pretty impressive. I mean, behind the back passes, he would get that ball
skilled.
And shoot it.
There's a difference between being athletic and being highly skilled. He was highly skilled. Oh. He wasn't real athletic. Kind of like our freshman center right now. Highly skilled. Not the greatest athlete, but very, very skilled. That's why I went off last week when they compared him to Uwe Blob. Uwe Blob was a freaking robot. And by the way, the only reason he went in the first round, because in the 1980s, if you were a 7-footer, if you chewed bubble gum, you got drafted in the first round. Are you kidding me?
That's
and,
a true statement.
Yeah,
I'll go with that. And John Bradley was one of the most unathletic guys I've seen, but he got drafted in the first round because he was tall as a mug.
You ain't gonna say that. I'm for Philly, man. We were pissing and moaning about that for years. In fact, some people still are. That was an awful, awful, awful draft pick. Pistol Pete too. You got to shout him out. I'm extremely sorry.
That's
you
a good
cannot
one.
Leave that dude out of conversation.
Pistol Pete is right there with Bird.
Hey, did you ever see this interview on YouTube where him and Dr. J played for together just for a cup of coffee? They were actually on the same team in the ABA for a cup of coffee. And I'm guessing the Virginia Squires. I'm not real sure, or I forget where it was. But they used to play one-on-one all the time after practice. And apparently Dr. J said, yeah, they would go back and forth, you know. Nobody dominated each other. Like, one would win one, and the other one would win the other. So I would have loved to have been in the gym to see that. But anyway.
Hey, Billy, I know you – I know Sam knows his basketball, and, you know, I'd appreciate you giving him his props and everything. But you tell the morning show if they want to play the afternoon show a little two-on-two, we'll beat them every time. Up to 15, we'll give them 13 points and the ball.
Exactly.
And we'll beat them every time.
Let them know the premier show will dominate.
Wait a second. How tall is Ira? What's he, 5'5"?
I didn't know that.
I think Ira's the tallest midget in the circus. What, are you friggin' kidding me?
We'll have free throw shooting, three-point shooting, whatever. Not like we're giants.
The real question is, who the hell's Miz playing for? Because he sleeps there. He's there 23 hours a day, right?
Miz is the referee.
Oh, okay.
He's the PA guy.
I'm the commissioner, man. I'm the commissioner. I'm the one pointed out.
And my buddy just yelled out Steve Nash, but I'm not putting him in that, not in that category. Not with Larry Joe and Pistol Pete. Hey, listen, I already made my feelings about Mike Hart yesterday, so I'm not going to go heavily into detail, but man, that what a huge get. Think back to about 10 days ago, how this program was failing, and look at all of a sudden, look what one hire does and a contract, just a contract signing and going out and starting to put together a staff. So I'm feeling extremely optimistic about next year. And Dennis, I know you're Denny Downer, but come on, man.
Well, no, you know what? I haven't been today. I don't know how long you've been listening, but it's a pretty good point. You know, it shows you how much if you love Michigan football, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you know, can get you right back on the right side of feeling pretty good.
Yeah, and all we need is one bad thing to happen to Ohio State. Maybe Blue takes off and they make a bad hire, because that's all it takes, man. It takes one bad hire to have something trend in the wrong way. It really does, you know?
Yeah, well, and the one thing I don't want, like, you know, I'll accept that, you know, you call me a Debbie Downer here. I just, you know, the part about, you know, leading the parade about, like, let's put our index finger up and, you know, act like this is going to be the greatest thing, or hype this thing up like everything's going well, because it's not. But, you know, being excited about the upcoming season, you know, all those kind of things, I'll be right there and match, you know, the passion and intensity of everybody else. I'm just not, you know, fully jumping in, acting like, you know, the team's going undefeated, or they're back, or they're going to beat Ohio State, or, you know, even beat Washington. I think they're going to go 7-5 next year, but you know what? I'm ready to be wrong about that.
Oh, yeah. I think you're going to be wrong about that. Hey, listen, he's going to fix that running back rotation. We're not going to see that circus that we saw last year.
He will do that.
You know what I mean?
I hope so.
He will do that.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. Oh, and the last thing, I'll take Smith over. I love Z. I loved Simpson. Loved him. But the bottom line is, especially against the zone, he couldn't shoot over it. You could cheat. Defensively, you could cheat against him. And he just didn't. That's why he came up with that hook shot, because he really didn't have the dribble drive.
Wait a minute. Let me get this right, Philly. You would take Simpson or you would take Smith?
I'll take it, Smith. I think he's a half a step quicker, and he doesn't have to rely. I mean, that's where that little hook shot came from. He really couldn't go amongst the trees. I think he was a half a step loose. Now, defensively, I love Simpson. He was a pit bull. I loved him. But I think right now, and especially for this team, Simpson's definitely the fit. I love it. And like I said, we were saying yesterday, you know, they replaced two starters last year, guys that have really been there, done that, and they're actually better. So.
Yeah, well, he just fits the team better. You know, Simpson was a better defensive player, but you know what? You can't slough off of Mike Smith, because he'll sit out there, put his feet together, and he'll knock down that jumper. You know, the thing about Xavier, it seemed like it was coming along, but then, you know, the rotation would be like half-cocked, and people would just leave him out there all by himself. You can't do that with any player here on Michigan.
And not to throw shots because I love
leadership, though, gentlemen. Leadership is key. And that's one thing Simpson had.
He did.
Jamie, though, I'll tell you the other thing. You got to admit, down the stretch when you're trying to hold a lead and there's your main ball handler and he's going to knock down some foul shots, man, you had to hold your breath. Did you not?
No, so you're right. You got to take him out the game and you don't have your best ball handler in the game.
And it is still relatively early. I mean, Xavier went through all of those wars, and he went through the Big Ten tournament. He was that one year he was shutting down Cassius. He was going right down the list of guys that he was checking, and pretty much, you know, was the MVP if they gave one out for the Big Ten tournament that one year. So it is a little bit early, but I like that Smith can just sit out there and knock down that 3-point shot. It really helps the whole team out where you don't have that weakness. Where you're going in saying, okay, let's do this, let's do that. You let Mike Smith go out there and just line up those threes, he'll knock them down.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
Hey, I want to shout out Mr. Walton. What a great point guard he was by the time he left here. He was tremendous.
Yeah, Derek was great. You know, everybody's
forgetting about him already.
DW Jr.
Come on. Nobody forgot Derek.
He was got a Pistons 10 day.
I still was sad he didn't hit that three when we were in the Elite Eight against Oregon. Remember that? I thought it was going. I thought it was in. I thought it was money. So.
Me too. You know, it's a good question. It's a good question to throw out there. Simpson or Smith? Simpson Smith.
All right, 734-998-1050. JJ, Simpson or Smith?
Well, how can you say something about Smith right now? Because you only have 10, 12 games that he's played in. You have to go over the whole career. But I give him two thumbs up right at this moment, a Siskel and an Eber.
How about Morris or Hart?
On what?
Morris or Hart?
Say it one more time, Dennis.
Jamie Morris, Mike Hart.
Oh, I've got to go with Jamie Morris.
Dieter Heron, Charles what?
Right.
Dieter Heron.
Right.
Oh, here, Dennis, I've got to ask you a question. We're on the dang Michigan sports radio show, and not one caller's mentioned, we're talking about a great basketball player of any color.
Rudy T.
How about Rudy T?
When he retired, he's
one of the few. One of the few people who ever had a field goal percentage higher than 50% left a non-center when he retired. And look at his college stats. He was awesome. He reminded me of a Bob Pettit almost. That's going back old school, too. And, Jamie, I got to ask you this question. I know that you're not involved in coaching and stuff like that, but how do Jim Harbaugh and Mike Hart come together after that little riff back in 2007 with the, you know, general studies stuff? Has anybody touched that yet?
No one's touched that. But
yeah, I did.
Look,
I talked about the East Coast West Coast rivalry.
Yes, you did. Okay. Dennis did talk about it. I apologize. Dennis did talk about it. JJ, look, coaching recognizes coaching. Jim Harbaugh, he had to get over it. I mean, that's when he was a student athlete. Jim Harbaugh, Mike Hart was a student athlete. Jim Harbaugh was a coach on the West Coast of the. I mean, you got to let it go eventually, right?
Well, I understand. But as you and I have discussed before, there wasn't anything that James Joseph Harbaugh said about that situation that was a lie.
No, it's
what
true. But look at it. See, I don't want to get into it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm sorry, JJ. You have your opinion on this one. I have my opinion on it, too.
Okay, I understand, Jamie. Hey, I'll just say this. Only 27% of people who graduate from college actually go into a field that has something to do with their major.
What do you do? NCAA?
What was the percentage?
27% go into their major. That's it. So all the stuff you stay in school and do all that stuff, and 41% of the people who are undergraduates are unemployed within their first year. I looked at it real quick.
How about this one, JJ? You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
That is
Wow. You know, I got JJ. I got to take one more call before I go back on the other side. I'm sorry. 734-998-1050. Let's go to Aaron. Hey, Aaron, what's up? Aaron.
Softball. Yeah. Oh, there you are. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, am I in the air?
Yeah.
You're on.
All right. Well, I got my list of white guys here that nobody's mentioned yet.
Let's hear them.
Bones Jones. McHale.
Yep, Bradley. McHale's good.
Who's that, Bobby Jay Jones? Collins. Is that who you mentioned? Bobby Jones?
No. Bones Jones.
I don't know who that is. Bruins Jones?
I forget his real first name. It wasn't Bobby. Bobby Jones was involved.
Okay.
All right.
76
and then
is Bobby
Dave
Jones.
Collins.
Who?
Dave Collins.
Doug Collins, yep.
All right.
No, not Doug Collins. Dave Collins.
Oh, Dave Collins.
Dave Collins,
Celtic. Yes. Celtic.
Yes.
Yeah, he was good.
The
Big
Celtic,
Red.
Right?
Big Red, yeah.
Yeah.
You could go to John Havlicek.
Oh, Havlicek, of course. Vlade. And then what is up with all these Pistons fans? I'm not a Pistons fan, but DeBuscher, Laimbeer, hello?
There you go. Well, we're talking top 10. You know, you putting David DeBuscher in your top 10 white players of all time?
Well, I'm just throwing out some candidates.
Right. Candidates are good. They are candidates.
Exactly.
And David DeBuscher, you know, it's pretty good.
Well, I mean, at least in Piston land. But anyway, all right, I'll let you guys go.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Aaron. So we're going to go to a break real quick. We got Brandon Brown coming on.
He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's not just a Piston. Sorry, Jamie, cut you off.
That's okay. You're listening to the M Zone.